This is Joanna Schrader, and I'm here at the NAC show in Las Vegas with Phil Lampert with Growth Energy. So, Phil, I'm standing in your booth. I'm looking at two actually brand new, beautiful blender pumps. Can you tell us a little bit about sort of what you're doing here at NACS?
Well, this is the one show that the Association of Convenience Stores, Petroleum Equipment Institute, Petroleum Marketers Association of America all come together. It's maybe 25, 30,000 participants, retailers, wholesalers, jobbers, distributors, equipment manufacturers, and we're here to provide outreach and promotion, educational material, and as you say, show people these outstanding new blender pumps that can take a 87 octane, no alcohol, blend that with denatured alcohol and sell E10, E20, E30, and E85.
There's been some hurdles that you've faced, you know, that the ethanol industry has faced in E85 installations and the blender pump technology. Can you talk a little bit about what those hurdles are and what Growth Energy in particular is doing to overcome some of those?
Well, hurdles, Joanna, have been everywhere from not having certified equipment by Underwriters Laboratory to having our ASTM standards dated to having just general lack of enthusiasm by the Department of Energy and others for ethanol. Growth Energy was able to come with the NEVC and provide us additional resources, additional tools. We're very thankful for the ability to merge with Growth. So we have a hose now submitted to Underwriters Laboratory. The dispenser's been certified. The nozzle's been submitted. We'll have the whole equipment approved by second quarter of 2010, and Growth has been instrumental in helping pay for those things. Growth has the resources to be able to do that and really take the mid-level and the high-level blends of ethanol to the next step, and we're very enthusiastic about that.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the mid-level blends. Right now, I know Growth Energy has sponsored an E15 waiver, which would allow, if my understanding, would allow retailers the ability to blend up to 15.
Exactly. That's not a mandate. Okay. That's just, as you say, the allowance.
Okay. But can you talk a little bit about maybe where we're at in that process and why that's such an important thing for our country to have?
Well, the point is, today we have every vehicle in North America can operate on E10. And there's really no scientific basis why it's E10 and not E12 or E8. And our point is, because we think the technology is continuing to develop in automobiles and light-duty engines, that E10 is an arbitrary number, and we should go to E15, which allows us to blend another close to 6-7 billion gallons of ethanol into the product. Because if every motor vehicle in the U.S. ran on E10, we could only blend about 14 billion gallons of ethanol, and we need to use up to 36 billion gallons in 2022. So somewhere we hit this so-called blend wall, and clearly E15 helps us, but high-level blends are really the future of ethanol, E20, E30, E85 in flexible fuel vehicles.
So basically, if a retailer comes in and installs this blender pump technology, they're going to be ahead of the curve.
Absolutely. They're the early adopters, and they get the tax credits, and they get our support and assistance. When there's 30,000 of these blender pumps around, there won't be a Growth Energy market development team, and we won't be there to provide that assistance because we won't need to. So the early adopters are the ones that can take advantage of the grants and the tax credits and our assistance.
Well, and let's talk a little bit about your assistance. I mean, your assistance is fairly broad, to my understanding. You just don't come in and say, hey, here's a blender pump. I mean, you know, talk a little bit about how you do assist these retailers in this process.
Well, the first thing we do is to make sure that it's legal. We don't want to put in anything that is unsafe, that violates any local standards, any federal standards, any state standards. We check to make sure that the tank can handle high-level blends of ethanol, that the lines can handle it, that the pump can handle it, that the fire marshal's okay with it, that the code enforcement people are okay with it, that the underground storage tank operation within state government's okay with it. And then we make sure the retailer understands what they're doing, that we don't sell E85 year-round. We sell E70 during the winter, and we have to have adjustments made. We have to have a proper hose. We have to clean the tank. So it's crossing the T's and dotting the I's.
You mentioned flex fuel vehicles, that right now the mid-level blends and the higher blends are available for flex fuel. Where is the industry or potentially our country at with getting more flex fuel vehicles on the road for the drivers to purchase?
Well, clearly we need to have every vehicle manufactured in the United States as a flexible fuel vehicle. Growth Energy is supporting legislation that's been introduced by Senator Harkin and Lugar called the Choice Act, and we are promoting that. That would require the production of flexible fuel vehicles. Today, the domestic automakers, Ford, GM, and Chrysler, are building a large number of FFEs, but Toyota sells more vehicles than Ford, Chrysler, or GM, and they don't build very many FFEs. Honda doesn't sell any FFEs, Mitsubishi, Kia, and if they're not going to do it voluntarily, then we're going to encourage them to do it in a mandatory system, and we hope this bill is part of the climate change bill that Congress takes up in the next several weeks.
Well, and I could be wrong here, but it sounds like it's kind of a no-brainer, because obviously if you put in a blender pump facility, you're already ready for the future when those flex fuel vehicles come.
And E85 and E30 or whatever blend of ethanol is not the answer, not the singular answer. I want my grandchildren not to go to a gas station, but to a fuel station. And there may be biodiesel there, and there may be E42.5, and there may be propane and hydrogen and quick charge electricity, and they have the choice then. And to say ethanol is going to dominate is as disingenuous today as it is with gasoline dominating. We don't want to have one fuel dominant. We want to be able to spread the system where a number of fuels are available, and where we have a catastrophe in one side of the business that doesn't stop our transportation system.
So, you know, what's sort of the last thing that you really want retailers to know or understand or take away from your presence here at NACS?
Retailers have been selling liquid hydrocarbon fuels for 110 years. The only growing liquid fuel is ethanol. It's handled like gasoline. It's sent out into a tanker like gasoline. You put it in your car like gasoline. It's not under pressure. We don't have to train anybody on how to use it. It's the only form of liquid fuel that has an opportunity to grow. And we want them to see that it's a new profit center. We're trying to find the entrepreneurs that aren't risk averse, but are looking for that profit center. It's like at this NACS show, you can get 50 different kinds of beef jerky, but you can only buy two forms of liquid fuel, and that's ethanol and gasoline. So we're showing people that, hey, this is a new form of liquid fuel. Consider putting it in your store.
And this is Joanna Schrader reporting for Domestic Fuel.